If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Very, very familiar text. Matthew chapter 11. And it's kind of funny, Brother Chuck and I were just talking about that this morning at the breakfast table about invitations. We all have received invitations of one form or another in life. We get invited to different occasions to celebrate people celebrating birthdays, celebrating weddings, Christmas dinners, and even on our job, sometimes we get invited to company parties. And these events and invitations that we receive are good, but there's a greater invitation that we have, and that's from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So this morning, for just a few moments, we want to discuss the topic of the greatest invitation of them all. I need to do this here. Let's look at who is invited. In this scripture, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus is inviting. Who is he inviting to come to him? Everybody, all who are dealing with things in life. Sometimes we get weighed down with the issues of life, and we get worrisome, we get burdensome, we have problems, and we really don't know what to do. But in this context, it's actually dealing with those who are dealing with the problem, struggling with sin. And one thing about it, we don't like to admit it, but we also struggle with sin. It may not be things that we say. It may not necessarily be things that we do, but sometimes our very thoughts can condemn us. The way we think sometimes, you're driving down the street and somebody cuts you off. You know, if they could look in our mirror, through that rearview mirror, and see the thoughts that are going through our mind, our lips may not say it, but what we're thinking, but we don't know what they're going through. They may have just gotten an important phone call and need to get off it, and they acted without thinking. But the things that we do sometimes, even our thoughts, again, can condemn us more than what we do or say. So the invitation name leaves no one out. This invitation. Now, on our physical invitations, there are certain people that get invited to these events. They're not going to invite everybody. They're going to invite those who they're familiar with, those who they may have a close relationship with. Everybody just can't come, but here Jesus leaves nobody out. That's good news. And we need to be able to know, let people know that, hey, look, I don't care what you're going through. There's no problem or no matter too hard for our God to solve. He's inviting you to bring it to him. But the thing is, people have to be willing. There was a time that I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. You ever been there? Uh-huh. Seems like every time something goes wrong, before you can get out of that situation, you're smacked with something else. And I'm like, man, what am I going to do? We're not strong enough to handle these issues on our own. We need some. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You know, there's a higher power that we must look to, and that's God Almighty. Amen. So the weary, those who are worn down by work, worry, or grief, and we've all been there. We've all had issues and problems that come. We are trying to figure out what bill we can miss paying without getting in trouble. Or trying to find this and find all sorts of issues. It does not matter what it is. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor." And let me say this. A lot of times the church, they have their picks on who they want to help and who they may not want to help. Someone comes in, and I'm telling you something, as always, that I've experienced working with different congregations, and Well, my thing is, if we're going to help one person, why not help them all? Regardless of their situation, regardless of their background, you know, that's just like addressing the issue of sin. You will allow, some congregations will allow someone who's living in adultery to stay in that marriage or stay in that relationship, but yet someone who, let's just say, lies or steals, they want to sit them down and they don't want to address it. But they're hard on the... Sin is sin. All sin is to be addressed. So how are we going to pick and choose who we want to chastise? We don't have that obligation. We don't have that privilege or what's the word I'm looking for?
Authority.
Thank you. We don't have the authority to pick and choose what sin we want to address. All sin needs to be addressed, because truth of the matter is, if that person continues to do what they're doing and we never address them, then they can get with Brother Jerry. Hey, look, man. The church let me do what I want to do, and I'm still up serving every Sunday. I'm still leading. No, sir. And not just the men, but I'm talking about women too. Women, y'all have problems too. Some women have problems too. Not saying you all, but some women in general. You know, they think that they can just run the church, and they husband don't say anything about it. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you this: when God blesses me with my wife, we're gonna work together. She's not going to run me. I'm not going to run her, but we're going to serve the Lord together.
Amen.
And then the burden. Those carrying guilt, failure, or expectations they cannot meet. How many times do we feel guilty about things that we've done? Or even things that we didn't do that we should have done? You know, we take for instance the evangelism. We go out, we're supposed to be sharing the message with everybody. Mm-hmm. We see people, we know people in our family, and we never say anything to them, and then they pass away, and we just feel so bad about, we carrying that guilt around because we never said anything when we had plenty of opportunities to say something, and it's too late because they gone. Mm-hmm. Or we may have done something that we know we had no business doing, and then we feel guilty about that, which we should. But don't feel guilty to the point where it stops us from coming to church. Some people feel so bad they stop coming to church. They feel, well, it's just no help for me. I'm too far gone. God's not going to forgive me. Huh? I don't understand that concept. Because if God, Jesus Christ, could forgive those who crucified him on the cross, and we haven't done anything that can compare to that, why won't he forgive us if we ask him? We have to ask him and believe that he will. Yes, sir.
I think, brother, a lot of times we carry the guilt because people fail to realize that the devil is, the scripture says the devil's with us 24/7. We fail to realize, we know God is with us 24/7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we fail to realize that the devil's not going to stop.
Right.
He's going to keep on telling you, oh, you did this, you
yeah.
God not going to. Same way he did with Eve.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to keep on trying to deceive and throw you off the path. And if you stop praying, stop going to church, stop, you still believe. But you're not doing anything to keep your faith alive.
Right.
It's like a light bulb that's going out. It's getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. You're not trying to do anything to keep it bright.
Yeah.
So the devil eventually keep on telling you stuff. You're gonna fall for it. You're gonna be weak.
All right.
Psalm 34:18 talks about how God wants us broken.
Yeah.
He wants us to bring the
yeah.
broken pieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I did a sermon last week about carrying the cross, bearing the cross, you know, and how we sometimes don't want to suffer. You know, we feel that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, I believe in verse 19, that they that are whole need no physician, but they that are sick. And we have to be honest with ourselves. But see, the problem is we want everybody to think that we got it together. We come to church, we got our best on, we looking good, we smelling good. Hopefully smelling good. Yes, ma'am.
You know, we take our brokenness to God, and we have to understand that He can rebuild us.
Yeah.
Exactly. He created in us a whole different being.
Right.
If we're willing to let Him.
Right, right. That's a great point. And the thing is, we care more about what people think about us.
Exactly.
Than what God thinks about us. And I have to be careful about how I want to, what the next phrase I'm going to say. And we should care what people think about us, but not to the point where it causes us to stop coming to God and believing in God. So in a sense, I don't care what nobody thinks about me. You can think what you want, but get to know me. You know, I think I said this several times. Guys at the school look at me because I wear suits every day, Monday through Friday. Even on Friday, we're not required to wear a suit, shirt, and tie. As a matter of fact, there's no requirement for us to wear a shirt and tie, but I choose to do that because that's what I like to do. But a lot of guys say, you must think you better than... No, I don't. Get to know me, man. I mean, you know, sit down and have a conversation with me. Let's fellowship. And that's the problem, but we want everybody to think that just because I look the way I look or I dress the way I dress, I got everything together. I just look like this. I'm a well put together piece of dirt. Messed up on the floor. I have issues just like everybody else have issues, man. You know, my family, I mean, everybody has problems. But it's how you address your problem and deal with your problem. I don't let my problem define me. You would never know that I'm going through anything unless I open my mouth and tell you. Because I walk around with a smile on my face, with joy in my heart, because I know who I serve. And when we have that understanding, church, we can realize that no matter what I'm going through, I can always go to Jesus. You know, some people you can talk to sometimes, but there are times where it's late in the night or early in the morning and my heart is heavy. I'm not going to call you and wake you up. But I can go to Jesus. Because He never sleeps. Any more questions, comments? The next phrase, bullet point says, there's no qualification required. Meaning that there you don't have to meet a standard to come to Jesus. Again, dealing with the church, you know, and I thank God for Edge Hill, because Edge Hill has some of the most down-to-earth, humble members here. You know, some congregations you go to, man, you talk to guys, and you can tell by their demeanor, the way that they're talking and looking at you, that they're judging. Man, who are you to judge me? You put your pants on the same way I put mine on, bro. I mean, let's be real. You may not be dealing with what I'm dealing with, but you got issues too. There's no requirement to come to Jesus. You just have to have a willing heart and be humble enough to admit, hey, look, I need you. I can't do this by myself. And when we get to that point and let people know, hey, look, God he's not concerned about where you're at now. What He is concerned about is where you're going. And if you want to be with Him, you got to come to Him, but be willing to submit to His word and His way to be able to see Him. Because if not, it's not going to do any good.
Darrell, someone said, and it's not a proverb, someone says, you have the attitude, says, I don't like that fellow. I must get to know him.
Yeah.
I must get to know
him. Yeah.
We prejudge.
We do.
Let them take the opportunity to know where they're coming from.
Right.
In regard to that prejudging, faster and quick. But there have been opportunities where cats and I were riding our motorcycles, and we take the motorcycles to worship. And then when we pull into the parking lot, we are just being blocked there. and she, you know, I have a full face helmet, she has a three-quarter helmet, which is a good size helmet. And so they're all looking at us. We're taking off my helmet. And then when she takes off her helmet and her hair falls down, they just really can't believe that we're coming in.
Right.
No worship.
Yeah. No, I had a couple. Well, I didn't even know they were coming. I went to Cherokee, North Carolina to preach. And I saw the motorcycle when I pulled up. Had no idea who drove it. But they had driven all the way from Alabama just to come to worship in North Carolina. You know, but, I mean, I'm sure they got some looks when they put up too, you know. But the thing is, I mean, does it matter what we drive? Does it matter how we come? Just come. If you got to walk 7 miles, I've done it. I've been there. Because I didn't have a vehicle, wasn't nobody willing to come and pick me up, but I was determined to get to the church. The only requirement is having a willingness and wanting to come to Jesus and allow him to change your life. You know, I had a conversation with a young lady a couple of weeks ago, almost 2 weeks now, and we were talking about the differences between the church and wherever she was going in. She told me that because I questioned her about her pastor calling himself an apostle, that it was embarrassing to her, and she didn't want me to say anything to him. I said, well, sweetheart, this ain't going to work. We might as well go on part ways never, because if I get a chance to talk to him, I'm going to challenge his authority from Scripture. That's Bible. The Bible says, prove all things. You're claiming to be an apostle? Prove it. Where did you get your authority from? Who ordained you? Jesus had 12 apostles. They walked with him during his earthly ministry, and they were witnesses of his resurrection. They saw him after he rose from the dead. And ma'am or sir, I don't think you qualify. As a matter of fact, I know you don't qualify. Especially a woman calling herself an apostle. Come on now. You are already disqualified because you're a woman. He chose 12 men. But people today, let's move on.
They think it gives them authority. They think it gives them authority that they're better than, like, you.
Yeah.
Because you're not an apostle.
Yeah. Look, there's certain things I don't want to be. Just let me be a Christian. An old-time Christian at that. You know, have you ever felt tired or felt that you're not enough? The invitation that Jesus gives is addressed to us. I got to you, but to us. We all feel that way sometimes, that we're not enough. Even in my ministry, even in preaching and studying at school, it amazes me that God still choosing me to do it. In church, if y'all knew, or if it was up to them, I probably wouldn't be at the school now. And I mean, I'm pretty sure other guys can say the same thing, but by the grace of God, we are who we are, Brother Chuck.
You remind me of a situation where Saul and Paul.
Yeah.
Who would have believed?
Right, right.
So even when he did make the transformation, there are still many who couldn't believe,
right,
or wouldn't believe. And so that again, God can do, we know God does wonders.
Yes, sir.
Whomever he chooses.
Right. Right.
God, all things are possible.
Yeah. What? How much time we have? Somebody keep up the clock. I'm not watching the clock. I'm not good with time.
About 25 more minutes.
Okay. I think we'll finish this lesson today. We're going to try.
Well,
but again,
we got a trap door up there. It was a
trap door. Okay. Again, we're talking about invitation that we receive. We already talked about a wedding invitation, a witness to promise, to witness a promise and celebrate life with family, a birthday or holiday dinner, a seat saved at someone's table, a job offer or an interview, an invitation to a new beginning, or a friend may invite you to come with us to a trip or a game, or just have a cup of coffee. And then a neighbor's, come to church with me this Sunday. How many times have we asked our neighbors, or have we asked our neighbors, come see about, come. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to drive your car. I'll come pick you up. You can ride with me. You know, but one invitation that outlasts them all is Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Why is an invitation needed? Why do we need to come? Why do we need to accept this invitation? Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. One reason is listed here. Let's back up to verse number 10, 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. And continuing on, he says, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who will desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So Paul talking to Timothy here, telling Timothy that you have been careful, you made every effort to follow the doctrine, the teaching that I've given you, and live in a manner of life that's pleasing and purpose with faith, putting up with people. That's something we don't like to do. We want to cut folks off as soon as they make us mad or get up under our skin. I'm just done. But what if God treated us the way we treat each other sometimes, or even others that's not members of the church? But what if God said, I'm done? We would be lost, man. I'm coming to you, sir. If God had not gone to the cross, we wouldn't have a chance. I thank God that he's not like us. Come on, brother.
Well, we're reading the Old Testament, how Israel as a nation has been disrespectful to God time and time again. And at one point, God told Moses, step away, I'm going to take him out. Step back, I'm going to take him out. Because, Moses then pleaded to God on their behalf.
Right.
And so we, in like manner, have Christ who is pleading on our behalf for the things that we've done. We are truly blessed that we do have him standing between us and that the righteous judgment we are due.
Right. Yeah. You know, thank God, man, because as our next bullet point states, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. A lot of times, the church, people in the church, like to say, y'all have sinned. No, all have sinned. And sin is another, it's more than just not doing what God tells us or doing something that we shouldn't do. But what about us not doing what God tells us to do? We are commanded to go out and share the message. We are commanded to assemble if we can make it. If there's something that's keeping us or hindering us from being here, that's understandable. I think God will forgive if you're sick and you can't get here, or you have to work. Some people have to work on Sunday. I get it. But what that's talking about in Hebrews 10:25 is if there's nothing wrong, we're not working, we're not sick, we just say, I'm going to lay bed. Man, this bed feels good. I'm not getting out of this bed today. This is my only off day. I'm going to take time for myself. Okay. You better pray real hard that God don't come back. Because you made an intentional decision to stay at home when you had every opportunity to come to worship. That's what he's talking about. Not only have we sinned, but an invitation is needed because we had a debt that we owed and couldn't pay it. Have you ever, and this is nowhere, no way in comparison to the debt of our sin, but have you ever had money that you borrowed from somebody and weren't able to pay it back? And you know, look, man, I just can't, right now, I'm in the bind. I can't do it. Just be patient with me. You know, give me time. And who knows? That person may say, hey, look, don't even worry about it, man. Just take it as a blessing. You know, it's nothing. At least you communicated, but I'm going to get back on the lesson because I can go somewhere else with that lesson. But here it is. Jesus said, the Word of God says in Romans 6:23, for the wages or penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. He's offering us a gift of eternal life, but we have to be willing to accept it. And we can't accept it if we never come to Him. Then we can't fix our own problems. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walks to direct his own paths. We can't do it. If we could do it ourselves, Brother Jerry, Jesus wouldn't have to die on the cross. He wouldn't have had to go to the cross of Calvary if we could save ourselves, if we could fix our own problem. For what? But a lot of people won't acknowledge that. They think, well, I can handle it. Okay. Keep thinking you can handle it. That's just like a man who was in quicksand and people were kind of trying to help him get out. Hey, look, man, come on. It's nothing. My hand is stretched out to help you. I got it. But he did not realize the more you struggle in quicksand, the deeper you sink. The farther you get away from coming out of it, when it's so much easier for you to just grab my hand and let me lift you up. But no, I got it. Okay. And eventually, his entire body was covered and he was gone. And I don't know who said this, but it was another story I heard. I don't know if it was Chuck or somebody else that said it, but it's been said time and time again about a man who was living in a community, and the community warned him about a flood coming. Hey, look, man, everybody needs to evacuate. Get out of here. The man said, I'll be all right. So the rain started coming, and eventually the water started rising. Well, he had to come out of his house. He was on his porch. Then the floods kept on rising, getting higher and higher. He finally ended up having to get up on top of his roof. So somebody sent a boat by. Hey, man, look, you're not going to make it. Get in the boat. Let's go to safety. I'll be all right. God going to send somebody. Got higher and higher. He got on the tip of the roof now where he's barely watered on his feet. And eventually it got so high that he was covered. I mean, God sent all kind of people to buy. Sent him a boat. Man with a helicopter. Hey, man, grab the rope, jump on, take you to safety. Nah, I'll be all right. So he's standing before God, and he asked Jesus, why didn't you help him? Why didn't you save him? Jesus said, man, I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter with a rope. What more you want me to do? I mean, we have help. I think some people want God to just come down. He's not coming back. When he comes back, he's going to get ready to take us up with him. That's the only time he's coming back. But you need to come to him before it gets that way. We can't do it ourselves. And then we need to realize that we need help. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We need the word of God to direct us to get from earth to glory. We can't do it on our own. We need guidance. We need direction. And it's right here in His word. Questions or comments? So, the conclusion. Did you have some, Brother Chuck?
You were talking about one of our Christian responsibilities and our duties, and also our privilege is to try to explain to others, those that are lost, that there is God.
Yeah.
And so that would remind me that we do have a song in the Green Book, and you probably know the title. You
never mentioned Him to me. Saw me day by day. Yeah. Knew I was astray. And never mention Him to me. How many people do we see in the grocery store when we're in the grocery store shopping? Well, those of us that still shop, because like Brother Weather was saying earlier, nowadays you got these apps and things, you can go online and have your groceries delivered to you, or they're going there and pick it up for you, and you park out, hey, look, call the number, tell them what slot you're in, they bring it out to your car, load it up, and you know, you go on. But for those of us who still go out grocery shopping, how many times do we see people we don't even know and never mention about the church, never mention God? And sometimes I'm guilty of that. But I try to be more cautious and more aware of, look, everybody I see, I'm speaking to them, hey, how you doing? You know, can I give them a little card? Hey, look, come visit the church. Well, you know, it don't have to be Edge Hill. It don't have to be Carnes Church of Christ. Well, just visit the Church of Christ of your choice. You know,
you know, dealing with some people, if you don't necessarily have to preach a sermon to
right.
get them to come.
Right.
Sometimes just a simple, have a blessed day.
Right.
Or,
happy
you
Lord's
know,
day.
Can I pray with you?
Yeah, yeah.
Just something plain and simple. Yeah. You can look at people sometimes and you can tell they're going through something.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed you feeling down.
Yeah.
Can I pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or can I help you in any way?
Right.
And it doesn't take a whole sermon or a lecture sometimes to nudge people in the right direction.
Right. That's a good point. And before we move on, I've got to say this. A lot of times, people think the reason why they don't say anything is, number one, they're afraid of rejection. They're afraid people are not going to be receptive. That's okay. I get it. Jesus said, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off and move on. But also, people feel, well, I don't know enough. I don't know enough word. Well, you know what God did for you. You know how He brought you through other problems. We all had issues. I'm sure we've had funerals that we've gone to of our loved ones. We had problems with our parents, our kids, or your spouse may be getting on your nerves. But whatever the problem is, God brought us through it. He saw me through it. And we can share our experiences with them and give them hope. Hey, look, we don't have, like she said, you don't have to preach a sermon. Just tell them that God loves you. Whatever problem you're dealing with, God, you know, we did some training with Rob Whitaker back at the school about a couple of weeks ago. And how many of us in here today know somebody that's dealing with some type of issue? Raise your hand. Everybody here knows somebody that's going through something. Send them a card. Just you don't have to tell them who you are or where you're from. Just send them a card. Invite them to church. Let them know, hey, look, I'm praying for you. I don't know what you're dealing with, but God loves you. I love you too. You know, that simple card, this is how some people came to Christ. Because the entire congregation was sending cards every day. This man had about 3,000 cards from this particular congregation. Got them sitting all over, everywhere in his house. And he came one Sunday to visit because somebody cared about. People don't care how much you know about the Bible until they know how much you care about them.
This actually describes me in a lot of ways. I'm a Christian today because a friend of mine just asked me to come to church with me. That's why I'm here today.
Amen.
Didn't give me a sermon. Didn't say, tell me what you're doing is wrong. Just come with me to church.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes all it takes is a little invitation, yeah. A little to show people you care.
Yeah. You know, when we were here for our campaign, there was a visitor here. I'm not going to tell y'all who did what, but there was a situation where this lady was embodied. I mean, everybody just bomb rushed her. And so I saw it. I'm standing in the far. Matter of fact, it was the last, was it? No, it was that Wednesday night of the meeting. And I saw what was going on, so I intervened. And I said, because one guy, he was just, man, just pounding scripture, throwing scripture at her. Bro, this is her first night here. Leave her alone. Speak to her. Go on about your business. So I stepped in. I said, look, man, y'all just move. Move out the way. Move out the way. Let her breathe. I said, ma'am, I know you're probably not coming back. She's like, no, I'm not. I said, but if you would just come visit the church one Sunday or one Wednesday night, you and your husband come, what just happened here, it shouldn't have never happened. And I said, we have to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. That wasn't the time for them to press her with scripture right there. She already heard the word, the seed has been planted. Let somebody else do the watering, and then let God give the increase. But going back to this evangelism thing, there have been times where people that the congregation knew, where I preached at, that knew somebody that was in a hospital. I went, took time out of my schedule to go and visit that person. Every day. 5, 10, 15 minutes just to sit there, pray with them, and encourage them. Do you know when they got out of the hospital, they came and visited the congregation while I was preaching it, and they told me and the other members that the church that they were a member of, their pastor, preacher, never came to see them, and they knew that they were in the hospital. I said, okay. Well, I'm glad you came. Would you be willing to share a Bible study with us? Be willing for, we don't have to come in your home. We can meet somewhere. We can have dinner. Or we can do it over the phone, on Zoom. Whatever is comfortable for you. I just want to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. She agreed. And we baptized her. And now she's a faithful member of the Lord's church. And I'm not telling you all this to put myself up on a pedestal, but simple things about just letting people know that we care about their problems. The main thing that we have to do is find the hurt and heal that hurt. And when we heal that hurt, people will know, hey, look, they really do care. And guess what? We don't always have to go in our Sunday best. Put on a polo shirt, some jeans, and casual clothes, and just be a person. No. Let's close this out, man. Will you come? The invitation is open to all. No one is left off the list. Jesus is not concerned about your social status. He's not concerned about your economical background or your finance. None of that matters. Wherever you are, come to Jesus. We need to come. We need the invitation because our burdens and our sin are more than we can carry alone. What's offered is rest, eternal rest, not an easier life. Just because you come to Jesus don't mean it's going to be peaches and cream. Trials going to come. But we have a Savior to help us bear the load, and He walks with us. An invitation is only complete when it is accepted. A place kept is still a place refused. until you come. Even though I reserve a seat for you at my table, that seat is not, it's still open until you come and take the seat. The door is open and the light is on. Today is the day to answer. Will you come? Jesus again said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. He said, you will find rest unto your soul. And that's the end of my presentation. I pray that this lesson has been encouraging and helpful to us, as it has been as I was putting it together and studying. So we thank God for His grace. Again, let me just encourage us all. If we know anybody that's going through anything, family problems, sick family members, let's get together. Till we can get the address and find the car. I'm here till Thursday morning. Lord willing, I'll be teaching Bible class Wednesday night. And well, I'll let talk with Jerry and Wesley, and they'll give you some more information about what we're trying to do here for the Edge Hill Church of Christ. I thank God for being here. You've been a wonderful class, as always. And are there any prayer requests this morning before we dismiss and pray? If not, let us pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for the time we've had to share a portion of your word. Father, we pray that all that was said and done has been pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Father, we ask now that you be with us as we prepare for our morning worship, that you will be in the midst of our worship, that everything that we do will be in spirit and in truth, and that we will, all things that will bring honor and glory to your holy and divine name. Father, it's our prayer for those who may be en route, that you will give them traveling mercies to make it here without any hurt, harm, or danger. And there be anyone in this midst in the audience today that don't know you, that they will step out and put you on in baptism before it's everlasting and eternally too late. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.